Portions of our programming have been pre-recorded.
The Good Neighbor Network, WGNS, Murfreesboro, Smyrna. Flagship station for MTSU sports. The views and opinions on this show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of WGNS, its management, other hosts, or advertisers.
Everybody, it's 8 o'clock. Ed Raymer here. We welcome all of you that are listening here to WGNS, YouTube Live, Facebook Live, and we're going to get started right off. Oh, and all of you with the Republican Party, welcome aboard, too. We're glad you're listening, always. This is Admiral Lee Raymer's show. I'm your host, Ed Raymer, and the show's produced here at the studios WGNS AM 1450, 100.5, 101.9 FM, right here in the heart of the great volunteer state, Murfreesboro. You can reach us tonight. 615-893-1450. That's 615-893-1450. I hope I get a lot of calls from you because I got two great guests here tonight. And you can also send us a text, and Connor will be glad to read your text over the air for those of you that may be a little too high or too shy and don't want to come on the air. We certainly understand we've got guests that way. And like I said, YouTube Live, Facebook Live, 1450 AM, 101.9, 100.5 FM, a bunch of other ways. Of course, my wife listens on Alexa. You can download Stitcher. You can find us if you want to. All you got to do is Google me, the Edwin Lee Raymer Show. You can put it on YouTube, whatever. You'll get it. You can download WGNS app. Take WGNS with you wherever you go. Listen whenever you wish. I didn't get to see Angela Bingham. Did you?
Did you get to talk to her? Okay. In the hallway here. It's really great to see her. Yeah.
So she blessed you and, you know, all that good stuff. She always prays for all my guests. She's never prayed for me. But, Angie, I missed you. You and Angie Renee, Angela both, they're doing great work with Simplicity. Listen to them. Mm-hmm. Jason Qualls does a great job with financial coaching. He's got some great guests and good advice. And I listen to him when I'm out in the car and out and about and doing a good job. And a lot of other shows here. And, of course, Brian and John are right now in. Connor, I guess you too, in the midst of the football season, high school football, and man, that's popular here in Tennessee. Okay, I want to thank Carolyn. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I hope your mother is doing well. We were lucky to have Carolyn here. Had a little scare earlier today. Thought you might have to go to Memphis. Turned out everything worked out okay.
Everything worked out okay.
Oh, good.
That's good.
Kelly, thank you for coming up at the last minute.
Thank you.
I got to look at that Earth, Wind, and Fire. I feel very fortunate that you're here in my presence
tonight. Well, yeah, I came away from Earth, Wind, and Fire live concert.
I left it on there, and my wife's sitting on watching it. She's not listening to us, I can tell you that, but she's listening to them.
I understand that.
They are fantastic.
Oh, my goodness.
And this is with a full-blown orchestra, mm-hmm. symphony.
I told you I was dancing in my living room. I was not making that up. So it's like, okay, you know, Ed, I love you. You give us a platform. I get to be here with Carolyn. So that shows how much I love you and the community and want to be here and talk to you. And all those places you are, you're just like omnipresent. You're just everywhere, Ed.
This is going to cost me a fortune, folks. The due bill from these two, honey, take out that second mortgage tomorrow. Go to the bank. We're going to need it.
There you go.
No. Y'all doing okay? Everybody doing all right?
Karen, absolutely.
So your mom, down in Memphis?
She gave us a little bit of a scare this morning, but
yeah.
All is well.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
That's a tough question to answer lately. How you doing? You know, I always kind of say I'm doing great, considering in the late stages of the fall, early stages of the fall of democracy.
You know, I wonder. I want to get some fun stuff out of the way, and I put myself into this pickle. And Matt Fee and anyone with the Democrat Party, I opened my big mouth. As some of you know, I've got a big mouth.
No.
Insert this size 15 foot right into it. I'm telling you.
Well,
and You may have been here, Connor. I don't know. And they're having the chili cook-off. It's going to be Friday.
Oh, that sounds fun. Is that the Habitat for Humanity one?
Matt would have to tell you, someone with Democrat Party. If you're listening, folks, please call. And I'm sending out stuff. I'm sorry I got late getting here. All this good stuff.
Well, Matt did tell me about Friday they're having a fundraiser, the Blue Harvest Bash.
Blue Harvest Bash,
yeah, and
right.
That's 6:30 Friday. You can go to rcdp.org to get tickets. And I'm planning on going.
Great promo.
Yeah. And it'll just be a lot of fun. It'll be a good way to meet up with like-minded folks and, more importantly, help raise money to support good candidates for local and county and state office.
And hopefully we're going to have more than just me. And I am going against, because my chili won an award once.
Mm.
Yes.
You made that yourself? I didn't know you were a cook.
Yes. And nothing but junk food. But
chili is a wholesome, heartwarming, stodgy meal. Don't knock chili.
And I said, yeah, I make a pretty meal. I had an award-winning bone. So it seems that Matt's wife, Tiffany, has had an award-winning. So we've got a bit of a tiff going there
with Tiffany. Yeah.
And I got my foot in my mouth, and it looks like I'm committed to fixing a pot of chili to take over there. And we're going to try.
Well, now I'm intrigued.
Okay. And so the news for me tonight, I've got a test batch on the stove at the house, and I got to try it when I get home. I take a taste of it before I come up here. And ladies, I got to tell you, it's still pretty doggone good.
Well, that's
for us to be able to take a look at and sample. We'll see.
Yeah, you can't just describe chili. Mm-hmm. That's got to be a tasting thing. That's like,
is it spicy?
Is it dancing about architecture?
I like spicy chili.
Mm-hmm. It is, somewhat, but it's for the masses.
Okay.
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 All right.
My tolerance for spicy has gone up a lot since having a boyfriend from Louisiana.
Oh, I bet it has. Okay, yeah. All okay, right. Those folks will tell you all about it. But, and not to be vulgar here, but mine is for the, you know, when you cook for the masses, okay? And it's kind of like they did Mr. Buffett. They did Warren Buffett. They interviewed him in his office one day. And of all the accomplishments he's had, of course, he's multi-billionaire many times. He's been richest man in the world on several occasions. And they showed Fruit of the Loom because they have stock in Fruit of the Loom. And they had in a frame a thing of men's underwear, you know. And said, you know, ladies, Fruit of the Loom. And this is what they gave you, you know, for, you know, being one of their biggest stockholders. He said, oh, yeah, we cover the asses of the masses. And that's what the man said. And folks, I'm sorry, WGNS, okay, I know, don't send you letters. Don't send them to Bart or Scott or Brian. Send them to me.
Warren Buffett. Yeah,
blame Mr. Buffett with it. Not that he cares about me. But. Yeah, I thought that was funny, but the chili is for the masses, but okay. I'll tell you what I will bring. I'd better
not.
A little
Tabasco?
We can always
jalapeno?
Have that. No. Our son, who is an avid deer hunter, I just got a phone with a while ago, he raised some habanero peppers.
Habanero. It's an N with a tilde. It's an habanero.
Boy. Yeah. And so we got the writer. He's got a dehydrator.
Oh,
at the house. Oh, he got into it big time. He made beef, the turkey jerky, the whole nine yards. He can make it all. He's better at that than I am. I never did anything with the deer meat. And so we decided we'd take a bunch of those habaneros and let's just put them down into a powder. Well, after we got out of the hospital after grinding the powder down.
Don't let that get airborne, is it?
It did. And,
oh, my goodness.
And we were outside even with masks. Let me tell you talk about hot.
Oh, my goodness.
And we've got it there. It's in a plastic bottle up in my wife's spice cabinet. It has not eaten a hole through the bottle yet, but I'm telling you, no, I'm not kidding you, this is the hottest stuff. I don't want to bring it around because if children were there. I'm telling you, you're talking hot, hot.
Because when you dehydrate it, it concentrates the oils, right? Is that
thanks
what
for telling yeah. me now?
A little late.
And man, I mean, it is the real deal. It really is. So anyway, I talked myself into that. I'll see you Friday, Matt. You owe me, and when I win the big award. Oh, I hope I don't cry.
Just and not don't open the habanero powder.
Not from yet. The habaneros either. Yeah. Yeah. I'm writing my acceptance speech now for the award. Okay. But no, it's going to be a good
Tiffany.
Time.
She's a competitor. You know, she's a competitive person.
No match.
Don't discount her.
Yeah. No match for me.
We'll make a side bet. How's that?
And look, I'm excited. Now give me something to do on a Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll have to find our way there.
That's really sad that you would come out and have a bowl of my chili versus your own. That's all you've got on?
Look. First of all, if somebody else is cooking, that's always a better meal, right?
Well, yeah, absolutely.
And I don't have to cook or clean up. That's a better meal already. Yeah.
All right, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what let's do. Let's go to our first series of breaks. We're going to get with these ladies, and we're going to talk about our current state of affairs right now, right here in Rutherford County, and then maybe some. And Connor's on the board. Carolyn Cox is here. Kelly Northcutt. They've both been good enough to come up and spend the evening with us. Back with you right after this. Hello, everyone. It's Ed with Private Investigations in Middle Tennessee. You know, if you just need someone checked out on a background check, tag them a run, or if you need someone full-fledged followed, give us a call. You can reach me at 615-390-7219. That's 615-390-7219. Or check out our website at piofmt.com. That's piofmt.com.
I felt so alone, scared, angry, full of self-pity. I just wanted to die, so I took another drink. Then I heard about AA and went to my first meeting. The people there talked about those same feelings. I was no longer alone. They gave me help to stop drinking and hope to start living. Alcoholics Anonymous, it works. Look us up. Check your phone book, newspaper, or AA.org.
Go to J. Mullins Jewelers and check out their collection of reactor watches. They're located at 352 West Murfield Boulevard right here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. And also, custom-made jewelry if you want it, they can make it for you. Also, gifts for any and all occasions. Weddings, graduations, family reunions, anniversaries, all of it. That's J. Mullins Jewelers, 352 West Northfield Boulevard, right here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Hello, everyone. It's Ed with Private Investigations in Middle Tennessee. You know, if you just need someone checked out on a background check, tag them a run, or if you need someone full-fledged followed, give us a call. You can reach me at 615-390-7219. That's 615-390-7219. Or check out our website at piofmt.com. That's piofmt.com.
I felt so alone, scared, angry, full of self-pity. I just wanted to die, so I took another drink. Then I heard about AA and went to my first meeting. The people there talked about those same feelings. I was no longer alone. They gave me help to stop drinking and hope to start living. Alcoholics Anonymous, it works. Look us up. Check your phone book, newspaper, or AA.org.
Go to J. Mullins Jewelers and check out their collection of reactor watches. They're located at 352 West Murfield Boulevard right here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. And also, custom-made jewelry if you want it, they can make it for you. Also, gifts for any and all occasions. Weddings, graduations, family reunions, anniversaries, all of it. That's J. Mullins Jewelers, 352 West Northfield Boulevard right here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee.
This is the Edwin Lee Raymer Show with your host, Ed Raymer, on your good neighbor station, News Radio WGNS.
All right, we are back, everybody. Thank you. Kelly Northcutt, thanks for coming up here. Kelly really came up here on last minute because I wanted her to be here. I felt like you ought to be here tonight.
Oh, thank you.
And Carolyn, and because, I mean, y'all get along. You think a lot alike, and you travel the same path. Ladies, I don't know that I'm older than both y'all, obviously, and I'm being serious now, and I put it on Facebook this week. Do people really realize where we are in this country right now with the situation we're in? And I'm taking this down. They say, well, all politics is local, federal people. Yes, this is affecting us locally.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This man has infected politics. People will not, when you refuse to stand up and say, look, you know, I'm of a certain party, but, you know, the leader of this certain party is nuts. Okay? This is wrong. I mean, our First Amendment is valuable. It is what separates us from the rest of the world. Thomas Jefferson insisted upon it.
There was a reason it was made the first. Amendment, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
The first,
it's like
right.
It was
not
the
second either. It's the first.
It was the most important critical
right.
amendment that all the founding fathers agreed on. I mean, I think Thomas Jefferson, you know, championed it, but it's like
right.
it was decided then, and it's been the abiding force in what makes us America.
It is.
Since the institution of the Bill of Rights.
Exactly right.
Yeah, but you know, the scary part about that is that there are those that can say what they want to.
Sure.
And
that's
there'll
exactly
be no
right.
repercussions behind it, especially when you look at the individual that is currently sitting in the White House, mm-hmm. can say whatever about whomever, and nobody bats an eye.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm talking about.
But
exactly.
But if I say something, you know, there are possible repercussions behind having a voice, and
probable repercussions
yeah.
anymore.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And as to
yeah.
whether or not
mm-hmm.
people
right.
understand where we're at, I think the people that it has already impacted and might impact in the near future understand it very well. I think the people that feel kind of more protected in whatever their status or class or descriptor is, don't understand the risk that outspoken people or people on the margins that are targeted by this administration feel. And I think they are way too willing to dismiss their personal narrative of the people that are at risk.
Right.
Because
sure.
they have not felt it yet.
They mm-hmm. haven't felt it. Yeah. And
yet.
It was as Aaron, Senator now, Aaron Schiff said.
Adam Schiff
said at one of the hearings that they had on one of Trump's impeachments, whichever one it was, the 14th or the 15th speech, I don't forget, he's been impeached many times, said how long before he was talking to the Republicans, how long before he turns on you?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
How long? And he will turn on you. This is a fact.
There are some people even now regretting their vote.
Sure.
They're
not
going to
come, but they still won't come out and say it and say, you know.
Some of them are.
Well,
you know, it's like there
I've
are
got
people,
a couple,
you know,
yeah, that,
little
that, yeah.
stories, you know, from people,
yeah.
a man that voted and for Trump every time he had the opportunity to.
Right.
And his wife, who, you know, has been here for 35 years and was a citizen, got arrested and deported because she had a misdemeanor charge like over a decade ago.
Okay.
And he has openly said he regrets voting for him, that he didn't think he was going to come after his wife.
Yeah, but you know what? That's the scary part. People don't realize until something happens to them.
Mm-hmm.
And then they go, oh, because it's not going to happen to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not talking about me.
Oh,
exactly.
Me.
You know, this,
yeah, me.
Yeah, you know,
yeah.
even when you look at some of the Hispanic population, they're not going to do that to us.
That's true. There's a big section of Hispanic population. I know, you know, in Florida, especially the Cuban communities that voted for Trump. And a lot of that had to do with religion and the stance on abortion.
Right. Absolutely.
And also, you know, it's like they are terribly afraid of communism because most of them fled that from Castro's Cuba. Mm-hmm. So that kind of colors their view of politics in a big way.
Yeah, but I mean, it's coming back to haunt them. The very man they voted for could now be very easily turned. I mean, he's turning against many of them. He's sending them back. And these are a huge majority of these people support Trump.
Mm-hmm. Right. The thing is, it's like people.
They don't understand.
Even immigrants from other countries felt secure because to begin with he was just going after people from mainly Hispanic countries.
Right.
But, yeah. You know, then he goes and they round up all of the people from Korea working to build that plant in, was it Georgia?
Yeah, it was in Georgia.
Yeah,
right.
They all had work visas. It's like it was
Everyone.
Worked out. And yet they were treated like criminals. They were like, you know, handcuffed and shackled and put in prison with, you know, mats to sleep on and very little water. And then they were held longer because Trump was trying to convince them to come back and finish building it and training the people to take over, you know, operating.
Yeah, and then after that we'll deport you again when
yes.
we're done.
Yeah, well, clearly they've, I think, collectively said no, thank you.
Yeah, sure.
Because
they don't want anything to do with it.
Yeah, we were recruited to do this. Right. We followed the law.
I have mentioned,
and
we were still
treated this badly by your administration. So,
you know, and when does this start affecting people that look just like all of us, that mm-hmm. speak just like all of us, mm-hmm. you know? We have white people, Kelly. They're here. They're from Canada. They may be if they don't open their mouth, you might not know they're from another country. They might have an accent. You know, when do they get, you know, at what point do me and you, Kelly, get pulled and say, you have papers? Papers for what?
Yeah.
Yeah, but there's a lot of people.
I carry a driver's license. My God, that's about it.
That don't have my accent or my skin color that still are American citizens. They were
sure,
either born here or naturalized citizens.
Yeah.
So what you look like and, you know, what
it's
you, how you speak
to have a
should
darn
not
thing
be
to do with
why you're picked up. And yet they've just recently said that ICE can use that as a determining factor as to whether they pull you over and you know, handcuff you and drag you in. That they can use, you know, where you are, if you're standing at Home Depot, they can use your skin color or if you speak with an accent. And that's backed by the Supreme Court.
We have a contestant here that might know, well, that is called, what is it, Ms. Con?
Racial profiling.
Oh, there you go. Yep. Ding, 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 ding. Yeah, she's got it. You know, it's ridiculous.
And it had previously been illegal.
Yeah, and people are not coming out. You know, they just sit back. Well, I don't guess it'll ever happen to me. You know, I sure hope, I sure guess it don't better ever happen to
you. We are at a very different spot than I can ever remember being. I remember
President Nixon wasn't it? Y'all may not remember. I do. President Nixon had regard for the office of the presidency. He cherished it. It was important.
Cherished it enough to cheat to keep it, but yeah.
but he knew when it was time. Well, of course, then again, senators had to go tell him, you know, Mr. President, you don't have the vote, you got to go. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I'm sorry, Kelly, go ahead.
Yeah, I remember when George W. Bush was president, and they were drumming, you know, the drumbeat of war was there to after 9/11 to invade Iraq. And I spoke locally at a peace rally. And the next day in the Tennessean, the paper of note that used to be a good paper, they published that the TBI had been there because there were known Muslims there. That's air quotes for those of you who can't see.
Yeah,
and they had taken names of people in the crowd.
Mm. Oh, wow.
Sure.
Which was a bit of an overreach. The TBI admitted as much and said that they had instructed their agents to destroy those lists. Well, I was a little bit shook
Sure.
That, you know, I was introduced. I know they knew my name.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. So at first I was afraid. I had my kids with me there, you know.
Right.
And it felt threatening. It felt like intimidation. And at first it scared me. What have I opened myself up to? But then I thought about it more and I got angry. That they were trying to intimidate me. So I called the TBI.
Yeah.
And I told them who I was. They said, oh, no, we've gotten rid of all that those lists. And, those agents weren't supposed to be there doing that. And I said, first of all, I don't believe you that you didn't know they were there. I don't believe you that you destroyed the lists. And I want you to know how to spell my name correctly because you're not going to make me shut up.
Right.
And look, I have to commend you on that because those are one of those scare tactics to keep us from having a voice.
Exactly.
And instead of allowing that to shrink you, it sounds like to me it only made you stronger.
It did. It made me more vocal. Mm-hmm. It made me more aware of all those tactics they will use to try to silence you.
Oh, yeah.
And it also made me aware that for some people, they can't take that risk. For some people, it will work because they aren't in a place where they can be at risk.
Right.
Some of that is because I wasn't in a marginalized community. I didn't feel as much at risk. But I also knew then that if it went to court, the courts would be on my side, that the First Amendment would be on my side.
Right.
And I knew that the courts had my back, that what they did was an overreach and it was illegal.
So
today,
I don't have
that confidence.
I have judges right here in this county that I'm beginning to have my doubts about.
Really?
When they changed, when you change your party just so you can get elected.
Yeah, that's party isn't supposed to make
it's not supposed different, to make
a difference
and
when you're a judge.
It didn't make me any difference. I was going to vote the way I voted, but it didn't make any difference,
Right.
And I looked on, and they're Republican. Some Republican, yeah, sure. Yeah, you're a Republican, sure. Come on. Give me a break. Come on.
If you actually just follow the law, to me, it doesn't
matter.
Shouldn't
make any difference.
Exactly.
Shouldn't make any difference.
But, and especially on the Supreme Court, that's supposed to it's not supposed to make a difference. That's why you go in front of, the whole Senate committee hearing. That's why you have to have, the approval of a majority of the Senate is so that there is some fairness. But that doesn't work if the candidates come in front of the Senate and lie about their intentions.
Well, sit there and just lie blatantly about it.
Right.
Yes.
And I wonder at times if the Supreme Court didn't give Trump just carte blanche to say, okay, here, there you go. Now, will you please go on and leave us alone? Because every time he turns, but it's still up there. He's bringing something before everything. We'll take it to the Supreme Court. Everything he takes. And how do they have time to sit and listen to his cases? Supreme Court listens to a bunch of different cases. Why would they do send, look?
Where would your loyalties lie if somebody paid off your mortgage?
I guess that make a difference.
It seems like it might.
Sure.
Yeah. Just speculative.
Send a billionaire to buy your mother's house with it, I don't know. It's very interesting. Brenda Pulliam, she's my cousin up in Kentucky. Hello, Brenda. How are you? I know you're listening. Thank you. That's the reason I wanted you all here tonight. This thing has really, since the Jimmy Kimmel thing, come on, man.
Nixon, who was excoriated by comedians and the press, it's like watching Johnny Carson every night,
right.
And there was no, and Rich Little's impersonation, that was not a flattering impersonation of Richard Nixon, but even he was not so thin-skinned as to threaten a merger unless he gets pulled off the air.
And Richard Nixon went on laughing, sock it to me. the whole thing.
He had a sense of humor.
He had some sense of humor. It was dry, but he had,
That was pretty good. Carolyn, that was pretty good, yeah.
Carolyn, you were going to say something.
I don't. I'm Never sorry. Mind. You anyway. You really threw me off with that Nixon impersonation.
All you got to do is shake your jowls and put up peace signs.
No, I'll tell you what.
It was very convincing. It's just
one of the funniest that I heard about Nixon. if you watch the movie on the David Frost tapes.
Oh yeah.
Okay. And I can believe this about President Nixon because you know he was so stiff.
Mm-hmm. Right.
President Nixon was very stiff. You know. And in one of the first scenes, Frost is a man about town. Of course, he's single, and you know he's dating these beautiful women, and met one supposedly on the jet over, and going to be interviewing the former president, and you know, and she hooks up with him for a while, and she's from Morocco, and so they go to do some business before the interviews, and. Right before they're leaving and they're, you know, doing their niceties and they're getting ready to walk out to the car. And President Nixon, the guy playing David Frost, said, you know, David, could I have just a moment with you, please, please? You know, he pulls him back and says, well, yes, sir. I'll be with you in just a moment, dear. He says, you should marry that young woman right now. He said, oh, yes, sir. I said, she is gorgeous. She's lovely. No, not that. You see, she's from Morocco. They pay no taxes there.
Oh, my goodness. Well?
I can believe that President Nixon did. There was always an angle. There had nothing to do with
not
love.
Not the angle you'd expect.
Nothing to do with emotion. Nothing to do with heartfelt feelings. It's just...
A tax haven. Look, you gotta have an agenda. Now, look, and it's funny that you're talking about Nixon because I was just a baby when all of that was going on.
Yeah.
But one of the things that I absolutely love about history is that you can go back, you can view video. There's still all this great information. Nothing's really been whitewashed about that. You know, where now our current administration wants to whitewash, get rid of, you know, you as an African American, not only do I need to know my history, I need to know where I need to go find it so that I can continue to educate my granddaughter, my son, those individuals that really want to know, because it's not going to be in those history books.
That's exactly
you know,
right.
You can sit there and I tell you, it's really interesting because I was watching, it was called The Chicago Seven.
Oh, yeah.
It's on Netflix.
Yeah,
really good. The guys,
I've heard about that. Yeah,
basically, it was the seven guys who were on trial for creating the insurrection on the Vietnam War.
Right.
Basically, and I mean, and it's just really interesting how history has a tendency of repeating itself. But the thing that I saw that was most interesting was, you know, they had this judge who was just ridiculous. But at the end of the day, the court system did what it was supposed to do.
It held.
And that's the difference between what we saw back then and the kinds of things that we're seeing now.
Right.
And it is scary, but you really have to know and understand your history. So the number one, it doesn't repeat. And what are you learning from it? And are we getting any better? And right now, we're really going backwards.
Well, I mean, and it's evident... We're talking about history. I played in recent weeks Keith Richards, who went to the New York Public Library. And where they came from when he was a little boy, they grew up in London, and they had just disaster over there. But the library was where everyone went to get information. He said, you know, we're not keeping all these books for nothing, are we? You know. And I'm wondering, with our current... And here's what I'm talking about. All politics is local. With our current, you know, school board, how long before do we start, we make a motion we're going to ban books in the Library of Congress?
Yeah, which is ridiculous because every book is in the Library of Congress. It's not like a lending library.
It's supposed to be.
Yeah.
You know.
It's not a lending library. It's there. So, I mean, so the legislators
so
will have access.
So we want certain books. They don't need that book going there. Stop that. It's crazy.
But again, it goes back to having those people that are in charge who know and understand mm-hmm. what they're doing, what's going on, the relevance of XYZ. And unfortunately, we've got lots of folks out there that are sitting in certain seats that don't have a clue.
They don't.
And they're not they're not even trying to figure it out or to ask the expert. You know, it's more or less, this is my opinion, this is what I want, and how do I make that happen, versus what's the right thing to do, and mm-hmm. how do we navigate this in the right way.
Carolyn, I'll hit.
Yeah, and what's ahead. The right thing to do for our entire community?
Yeah.
They can't see past the end of the nose on their own face.
Right.
They want to set their own personal standards
mm-hmm. right.
for everyone, whether you agree with them or not, whether right. you are like them or not. And that's what it is. They want this hegemony. They want to control who you can become, who you are,
right.
What you
right.
believe,
yes,
what
ma'am.
You're allowed to read about mm-hmm. other people and who they are and what they believe. And right. that it goes completely counter to that First Amendment.
Right.
That unless your rights trample on mine, you don't have the right to curtail mine.
Right.
I mean, unless my rights trample on yours, you don't have the right to curtail mine.
Yeah, everything's okay as long as I'm okay. Well, that's not necessarily true.
Yeah, but and it's even more than that. It's like, I don't think you're okay because you aren't just like me.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah.
You don't think like me.
Well, that's what yes. I thought. Yeah. God forbid everybody would think like Ed Reimer. My God. No, that. What are you laughing about? I mean, you know, to talk and to Carolyn's point about people not knowing these people, you've got a side. I'll hit one of your hot buttons. Tommy Tuberville, former coach at Auburn,
uh-huh.
United States Senator, did not know the three branches of government.
Oh my goodness!
But
he
was elected by the majority of his.
Those poor people down there.
Yeah. I learned that in like middle school civics.
Right. Banking, wow. finance, and doing what your wife tells you. That's the branch.
That's economic. Oh, those are the three branches. I see.
Yeah, but you know what? But and it really hit home watching it on Saturday mornings because those cartoons
gave you... I'm just a bill. I'm only
exactly.
a bill.
I'm just a bill. It's on YouTube. Yeah. I watched that dang thing once.
Yeah. I love it. Yeah.
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 It's very rudimentary and very basic, but it's the truth.
It's the basics of civics. And,
right.
it goes through how a bill becomes a law.
Yeah.
And I'm betting Mr. Tuberville didn't watch that. You know, I don't know what
he
was watching.
We could play that
Saturday
for Congress
mornings.
When they come in, if they could see that.
Yeah.
Is that basic enough for them?
But you know, they're taking all their funding away. So.
Well, and besides that, it's like. They aren't writing bills even. They're just getting like boilerplates that the Heritage Foundation has written
whatever.
And rubber stamping it. They don't even read them.
And executive orders.
Uh-huh. They're being told what to do.
Yeah. I've
and
never
they
seen
are
so many
useful rubber stamps.
Yeah. And then this presidency here is just going in and anything that was here before, wipe it out. Get rid of it.
Yeah. If it doesn't have Trump's thumbprint on it. It's
worthless.
Yeah,
I mean, when you first come in, the day you're sworn in and you come in and you have a ceremony in a hall or wherever it was or a gymnasium and people are in there, yay! You know, we're doing away with everything that President Biden, you're telling me that every single piece of legislation that Biden put forward, this is bad.
That was in the Capitol Hill Rotunda, the
Capitol
same
Hill
place
Rotunda,
that the January 6ers came in and broke things.
Yeah.
I mean, took flags to hit police.
It was peaceful. It was like a tour.
mm-hmm.
You know, it's so stupid. You know, and if you wonder, folks, why these people are here tonight, because I'll tell you why. One of them is a worker, and the other is a fighter. I'll leave it up to you to guess who's who. Because it's taken me several years to try and figure out. And some days I don't even know. We're going to go to our second series, our last series of breaks. Carolyn Cox is here. Kelly Northcutt's been good enough to come up and be here at the last minute, which I very much appreciate. Connor's on the board. Ed Reimer, stay with us. We're going to be back right after this. Hello, everyone. It's Ed with Private Investigations in Middle Tennessee. You know, if you just need someone checked out on a background check, tag them a run, or if you need someone full-fledged followed,
give us a call. You can reach me at 615-390-7219. That's 615-390-7219. Or check out our website at piofmt.com. That's piofmt.com.
I felt so alone, scared, angry, full of self-pity. I just wanted to die, so I took another drink. Then I heard about AA and went to my first meeting. The people there talked about those same feelings. I was no longer alone. They gave me help to stop drinking and hope to start living. Alcoholics Anonymous, it works. Look us up. Check your phone book, newspaper, or AA.org.
Go to Jay Mullins Jewelers and check out their collection of reactor watches. They're located at 352 West Murfield Boulevard right here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. And also, custom-made jewelry if you want it, they can make it for you. Also, gifts for any and all occasions. Weddings, graduations, family reunions, anniversaries, all of it. That's Jay Mullins Jewelers, 352 West Northfield Boulevard, right here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Hello, everyone. It's Ed with Private Investigations in Middle Tennessee. You know, if you just need someone checked out on a background check, tag them a run, or if you need someone full-fledged followed, give us a call. You can reach me at 615-390-7219. That's 615-390-7219. Or check out our website at piofmt.com. That's piofmt.com.
I felt so alone, scared, angry, full of self-pity. I just wanted to die, so I took another drink. Then I heard about AA and went to my first meeting. The people there talked about those same feelings. I was no longer alone. They gave me help to stop drinking and hope to start living. Alcoholics Anonymous, it works. Look us up. Check your phone book, newspaper, or AA.org.
Go to Jay Mullins Jewelers and check out their collection of reactor watches. They're located at 352 West Murfield Boulevard right here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. And also, custom-made jewelry if you want it, they can make it for you. Also, gifts for any and all occasions. Weddings, graduations, family reunions, anniversaries, all of it. That's Jay Mullins Jewelers, 352 West Northfield Boulevard right here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. And we are back for our last 16 minutes and 24 seconds. Kelly Northcutt, what are you running for? Because someone made a thing. What are you doing here?
I'm not on the ballot for anything at the moment, and I haven't announced intentions.
Carolyn,
to be,
okay, you're
mostly
running.
Mostly I'm trying to help for, other candidates.
Carolyn's either thinking. Running for something or friend something. Well, no, I'm always the one running friend
something.
She's
wearing something. A running shoes. Yeah.
You know what? Right now, I am simply, as I was telling Kelly earlier, I'm simply protecting my peace. Mm.
You know what? That granddaughter of yours keeps you honest, doesn't she?
She does.
Not on your feet.
She is
I'm
5 years
sure.
old. Yeah, she's 5 years old.
That's
I'm telling
a fun
you.
Age.
She's, oh, man. No, it's not. You ought to talk to Carolyn.
Girl. Sometimes I've been through
Karen.
It three times.
Karen, and Carolyn, hello.
Oh, I am glad I'm not in it now. I have to say that.
Yeah. Hey,
when
Carolyn.
When the grandbabies, though, you don't have to have yeah. them 24/7.
Yeah. Girl.
So.
Look, she refuses to leave, okay?
Aw.
Be like, you got to go. She runs away and be like, nah, I'm not leaving. I'm staying right here.
That's sweet.
We have a caller on the line. Caller, please go ahead.
Hey, Ed, Carol, yeah. and Kelly, how are you tonight?
Fine. Who we got
you.
Here, please?
This is Terry.
Hello, hey, Terry. How are you doing?
Good, thank you. Thank you.
How's things in Knoxville?
It isn't storming yet.
That's good.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we've had our fair share of lightning strikes here, I guess, as you've probably seen over the last two or three days.
Yes, sir. You know, I was thinking about the freedom of speech and so forth.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We all know about that. What's going to really hit the fan, in my opinion, is bread and butter issues.
Right.
And it's just... it's so hard for, you know, Tennesseans to make it when we don't raise the minimum wage. And we got all of these utility bills going up because of all these new AI data centers they're putting in here. And gas and, you know, this basic cost of living. Mm-hmm. But you can't go to the store without spending $100 just to get the
exactly, bag. Yeah.
And you get two little bags for that. It's
like, yeah. You get that much?
If you go to the pet section, you might get two bags.
I kind of like the piquant taste of Purina, I think. I'm getting used to that, yeah.
Great.
Yeah, we may all have to be eating some kind of food other than humanity, but... you know, it's just strange that America is going through this episode, and we got deniers here. But when you look at the big story, it's all about greed, and it's all about big money controlling our destiny and our public opinion, our privacy, and everything that we hold valuable in this country. Mm-hmm. It's all about the big money.
Yeah,
that's all it is. They're controlling Congress, the courts. They're controlling local politics. Everything that's going on in this country, it's all about greed.
Well, you know, and what gets me, Terry, $1 billion. You're worth $1 billion. Do you realize how many children you could feed for $50 million? I mean, is that going to, how, I mean, I'm telling you, people, and I'm not bragging on, I don't mean to do this, because I got two ladies here, it's probably the same way. If I was worth $1 billion, if me and my wife were worth $1 billion, she'd be going down the street giving it to kids fistful of hundreds at a time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I want free lunch, and I know you're in Knoxville, Terry, and I don't know how you all handle it up there, but I am on a semi-crusade. I want free lunch, free breakfast, free lunch, and a snack in the afternoon for every student in public school here in Rutherford County.
I think it ought to be statewide.
I think it should, because that's the only nutrition that a lot of kids will ever get, you know, and especially during the summer months, you know.
And, you know, you send public money to private schools. Are
yeah.
they getting fed? Are they going to get fed for lunch, too, since they're a private school? You know, you got to think about that.
I know. Yeah. Some of these problems, to me, seem like, they don't seem like problems, really. They're just common sense solutions.
Right.
I mean, a child learns better. You know, but I think where our problem is, Terry, and I think you and I would agree on this, you know, a healthy and educated nation is much harder to govern than one that's strong and confident and knowledgeable.
And yet we've managed to do it for 250 years.
I know. Yeah.
You know, I don't think that educated and, you know, middle class people are the problem at all. I think that is how we keep our country strong and getting better. And I think you're right. It's not just a greed for money. It's also a greed for power.
Sure.
We were talking about that earlier.
Right.
It's like, it's like they're sore winners. You know, it's like you have the presidency, you have the majority in the Senate and the legislature, and you've gerrymandered districts to make sure that you have Republicans and you have the courts. So what, both with money greed and power greed, I think the problem is they don't understand the concept of enough. There is no enough. They want it all.
They want it. What is all? Yeah. I don't understand.
No, but kind of like you said earlier, not only do they have it, but now they've really got to work to keep it. Mm-hmm. And the question for me becomes, what are we going to do about it?
Right.
Well, and here's the thing, and it leads a good segue in my, Terry, you still there, I hope.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Terry, I don't think I'm speaking out of line. You are a Democrat.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. You scared me. My heart skipped a beat. I thought, okay. Let me ask you this, because I've thought of this week. Do you think that a big part of the problem, and I know that a big part of the problem is here in Middle Tennessee, that we have Democrats that have just sat back on their hands and let this happen? You know,
no, that, I don't think that.
You don't think that? I know some people. Well, I don't really vote anymore. I just seem like my vote didn't count anymore. I'm a Democrat. You know, man, your vote counts more now than ever. You know, and that's what I'm getting at.
The politicians sitting back. You're talking about the people sitting back.
The people, oh, yeah, yes, sir. Yeah, I mean, I'm
sure.
Yeah, that we've got people that, you know, well, I hadn't really, I never did vote. I don't vote at all. Now I guess ought to. Yeah, you really should.
You know, it's pocketbook. Mm-hmm. When they hit the pocketbook, that's when they start changing their minds.
Mm-hmm. And the thing is, especially like younger people that, you know, are just they're just dismayed with the whole political process.
They
I
are.
Understand that.
And I understand.
And they say
it.
They don't vote, but it's my common retort is that you better bet that your landlord is going to vote.
Yes.
And your boss is going to vote. Mm-hmm. So they're voting for policies that aren't probably in your best interest.
That's exactly
so
right.
So maybe you should have a vote and counteract that, because otherwise they're just going to continue doing what they want and you don't even get a say.
Exactly right. Terry, anything else?
Yeah. Well, I say this every time that elections are coming up, but the Democrats in this state need to unify all three sections of the state, unify their finances, and blow the TV screens up.
Yes.
You know?
I agree.
Because that seems to be the issue. We don't get a lot of national DNC support here. We should, but we don't. And it's up to us. We're going to lose. We've already lost the democracy in this state. We no
Ryan.
Longer have democracy in Tennessee. It's been gone.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to keep going to where, well, they've already said you can't get out and legally protest if you're on state property. You know, they're just taking liberties away every day.
People little by little. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and people just need to look at their neighbors, look at their community, unify, and start talking.
Mm-hmm.
Don't
be shy. And not just you know, Ed, you were saying the Democrats were sitting there, you know, but it's like people that don't really identify strongly with one party or another,
right.
Or that, you know, used to be one or the other. It's like everybody needs to get up and vote.
Yep.
You know, I don't have a problem, you know, if the majority of the people voted in the state and the victor was someone other than I supported, that would be fair. That would be democracy. Your woman isn't always going to win.
Right.
But
sure.
If you feel like, you know, you didn't have, you know, one leg, you know, tied behind your back while you were running, then it would be easier to accept the loss. So everybody, I think to Carolyn's point about what the power we have to change things, mm-hmm. I think that those in power don't understand the power of the people, and the people need
to
understand their power.
Yeah, when the people,
right.
and
mm-hmm.
I mean, and I'm talking about all of us,
mm-hmm.
that because there's so much more that we have in common than we have differences.
Mm-hmm.
Vote for what's in your best interest, not the R or the D.
Mm-hmm.
Who is going to best represent our needs?
Mm-hmm. And don't kid yourself.
Exactly.
Right. Terry, I've got another caller. Anything else?
Well, just look at the bread and butter issues and start asking people, how come you can't make it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Raise the minimum wage.
Yeah.
I couldn't agree more. Yeah.
That's how we're going to beat these guys.
Yep.
Terry Livingston in Knoxville, Tennessee, good supporter of this broadcast. Terry, my friend, thank you very much, and I'll talk to you soon.
Good night.
Take care. Have a good week. We have another caller on the line. Connor, if you would, please, caller. You're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Eddie Raymer.
Yes.
Mark Riddle.
Hello, Mark. What's going on?
Well, I called about a half hour ago. I was late last week. Couldn't get on. I just punched out.
Okay. I'm sorry. I apologize.
Listen, I just want to tell you, when I listen to you talking about your chili and all, you sound like Clara Edwards on Andy Griffith at the pickle contest.
Okay.
Clara Edwards.
I'm not Clara.
I just also wanted to tell you I have enjoyed the shows I do every week immensely. It's a fun show to listen to, but you get a lot of information. It reminds me of the old Teddy Bart Roundtable, if any of you ever heard of that.
I remember Teddy Bart. Yeah, my grandmother used to watch him religiously.
Oh, yes.
I love Teddy and Carlin and all those folks he used to have on there. And the discussion was a friendly, usually friendly discussion, you know, and a lot of laughing. That's how I like it. I can't stand all the vitriol conversations. But anyway, y'all have been, Carolyn and Kelly, and you have been great tonight. Thank you so much for doing what you do. And I'm probably one of those people that I talked about a while ago that sit back on my hands and say, how'd we get here? Because I sat back on my hands.
Get up off of that thing.
I'll assure you, he's not sitting on his hands now. No,
absolutely.
No, I've spoken with this man personally, and I will say he's not, sir, you're not sitting on your hands now.
Well, that's good. Well, I'll sing a little James Brown for you. Get up off of that.
Get in the hot tub.
You know, that's what Eddie Murphy said when he said, we were talking about it just last night with a friend of mine. Say, you know, they finally are going to have to put in Webster's Dictionary. Ow, ow, that's a word, you know?
Well, all I want to say is I believe there's probably, when you get right down to it, more of us than are them, but we don't get together and get vocal the way I believe they have done long enough to, you know, take over.
Well, Mark, we just don't run around patting each other on the back, you know.
Well, I'm just saying that there needs to be a concentrated effort with one voice that says, you know, you cannot co-opt all the things you want to claim you own by yourselves.
True.
We also were part of, and I'm just looking to get involved in it and see if we can. I'm honestly just at a loss. Some days I'm so despondent.
I feel you, and I felt it this week, especially after the Kimmel situation.
Absolutely. I'm just saying, you know, this country is not what it used to be. It's just not what it was founded on.
Right. Action is the antidote to despair.
Yep.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. And I'm going to get inspired, and I have been inspired, so I just thank y'all for your program tonight, and Ed, for you every week.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. I appreciate you coming aboard. I appreciate it, Mark. And, Mark, I've got some bad news for you. I think I'm going to hunt you down this week and let you buy me a cup of coffee. How about that?
I think that would be a good idea. You just have to find me between tax returns because I know you're the deadline.
Okay. Mark Riddle, thank you so much, Mark.
All right. Thank y'all.
Take care. I'm glad he called this week early, right before we got to the last 30 seconds. Because Mark, lots of times he'll wait, or we got callers that take on a little bit too much, you know, and we can't get everybody on.
We got 30
Thank
seconds.
You.
Yeah, I just wanted to bring up.
You got a minute? Go ahead.
Yeah, I wanted to bring up the fact that First Amendment challenge to free speech is happening right here too. Fact that our friend Hope Oliver in the county commission public safety meeting said that ICE has been emboldened and is terrorizing the community.
I was at that meeting.
We were right there.
I mean, and I don't know what she said. It didn't mean rebuke
her. She did not say anything controversial. She spoke her mind. She's allowed to do that. They have had
County commissioner, for goodness sake.
They have had, like, fist fights in the county commission, and I'm not sure if anything happened, like a rebuke or anything like that, or taking anybody off of a committee for that. But for her to say something that Joe Carr just finds unacceptable and to try to try to even push back and maybe just intimidate. And silence her.
Mm-hmm. He wasn't even there that night. They don't have that. Let me tell you, the last person you want to get into a fist fight with is Hope Oliver.
I'm talking about I don't think she would lower herself to that.
No, she would. Well, no.
But she is the voice of a lot of us that don't feel well represented on that county commission.
Well, Kelly, yeah. They're scared of her.
They are
scared to death of that little gal.
Mm-hmm.
And she did something that is really unheard of a lot now. Are we out of time?
We're out of time.
Goodness gracious. I'm sorry. Yeah, she asks questions.
She asks questions. She
Carolyn
speaks
Cox,
up.
Thank you for being here. Yeah. Kelly, I appreciate you coming up here. Thank you so much. All of you that listen, all of our callers, thank you. Connor, thank you. Till next Sunday night, 8 o'clock. Ed Reimer with you. Until then, I'll catch you down the road. Good night, everybody.